Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at one verse today, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Starting somewhere around Christmas time and going to New Year's, and usually throughout the month of January, you see ads on television for diet programs and diet pills and health spas. And you see ads on television for exercise equipment and exercise programs. The reason for that is people in this country make New Year's resolutions. And many of our New Year's resolutions revolve around losing weight and getting into shape. But you don't see those programs, those advertisements going on so much in February and March, but then they begin to gear up for bathing suit season. About twice a year, folks do that. Now, you may have made New Year's resolutions along those lines. Boy, this year I'm going to lose 100 pounds, and I'm going to exercise every day. And you start out with the greatest of intentions, and then by maybe 3 or 4 days in, it begins to wane a little bit. And you skip a day, and then you skip 2 days, and then you skip a week. And then pretty soon, that resolution's gone out the window. Why is that? It's because you and I as people, you and I as fallen human beings, are frail and we are fickle. And we don't always persevere. As a matter of fact, perseverance for us is really hard. Now, if you think that perseverance is hard when it comes to dieting, or you think that perseverance is hard when it comes to exercise, it's even harder when it comes to persevering in the Christian faith. So how can Paul say to you and me, and say to these Philippian Christians, "I am sure of this," and then talk to them about what we would call perseverance of the saints? How can Paul know for a fact that men and women in the Philippian church will persevere? How can he know for a fact that you and I as Christians today will persevere in the Christian faith? And the reason that he knows this is because of what he says in verse 6. Because you see, behind our perseverance lies the perseverance of God. Lies the work of God. Lies the fact that when God starts something, God finishes something. And that's what we're talking about today. Paul's encouraged. He has received support from these Philippian Christians. He knows that they have loved him. He knows that they are committed with him in this fellowship and partnership in the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows this, and therefore he says, "I know that this will continue." Why? Because he sees God at work in what they are doing. He knew that this work was a work of God, and therefore, because of that, it will be done. It will be accomplished. It will be fulfilled. Now, if Paul thinks about this in terms of the Philippian church, and he sees the specific work of God that God is doing in that church, we can see from this the principle of the perseverance of the saints and why perseverance actually works. It works because God works. That's what we're looking at today. God began his work in you. God began a work in the Philippian Christians. "And I am sure of this," Paul writes, "that he who began a good work in you." What Paul was certain of was that God had begun this good work. that he was at work in the midst of the Philippian Christians. He saw their interest in the gospel. And he knows that that is something that has come about because of God. He saw their partnership with him in the gospel. These folks were not interested when he went to Philippi. It was until he went and began to preach the gospel that the Holy Spirit began to deal with them. They were not themselves crying out for the Lord Jesus Christ until someone came and preached to them. And now he sees these folks that have become converted partnering with him in the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he knows that their partnership with him and their relationship with him is going to continue. How does he know that? How can he be so confident? Because he knows that the initiation of that fellowship was not of his doing. Paul was not a megachurch pastor like we have today. Paul was not going around planting the flag and saying, "This is a church of the Apostle Paul, Inc., or LLC, or whatever you want to call it." He was not doing that at all. He was not calling people to be followers of him unless he said this: "Follow me as I follow Jesus." Now, he wasn't collecting folks to be with him. He was doing as John the Baptist did, saying things like, "I must decrease and he must increase." And so Paul understood properly that whenever someone comes to him to follow Christ, he must be pointed to Christ and not to Paul. Paul was not building a huge reputation. Paul was not building a church of Paul. Paul was spreading the gospel and building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knows that the initiation of this fellowship that he had with these Philippian Christians didn't come from him. And he knows it didn't come from them. The initiation of this fellowship was not of their doing. They were not just panting for the gospel. They didn't know about Christ. They needed to hear about Christ. And so they were not the ones that initiated this. God is the one who initiated this. He knows that this is certain, because the fellowship that they have, the initiation of that fellowship, was of God's doing. God brought this out. God brought this about. God took Paul to the place where those folks were meeting on the riverbank, and Lydia was converted, and her household was converted, and Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and the Philippian jailer and his family were converted, and many were converted, and the gospel spread throughout Philippi, and the people were excited about the gospel, and they partnered with Paul in the spread of the gospel, and God was at work. God was doing this. God began this good work in them. God brought these folks to himself through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul did, yes. He established their salvation through faith in Christ as Paul proclaimed the gospel. And he established their relationship with the apostle at the same time. So Paul could be confident because he knew that God was at work, that God had done this, that therefore God would enable the Philippians to persevere in the Christian faith to the very end. God started it, and God would continue it, and God would enable these folks to continue in the faith to the very end. He knew that God would bring about the completion of the work of partnership in the gospel that he had established between Paul and the Philippians. So he's talking right at first about what God has established between them and about this partnership that they have in the gospel. And he's basically saying, "I know this will go on until one of two things happens. Until either God called Paul home in death, or until the Lord Jesus Christ himself returned." God would do this. Now, God has begun a good work in you, Christian. He has begun a good work in you. Paul says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you." This is true not just of these folks back then. It's true of every Christian today as well. Paul's confidence is based on his understanding of what the scriptures teach about the perseverance of the saints and what lies behind that perseverance. Of according to Scripture. And so Paul is very confident that God has begun a good work in you. God's begun a good work in your justification. You remember what that is. Let's refresh ourselves with our shorter catechism. What is justification? It's question 33. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight. Why? Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. And so Paul is confident that the one who began a good work in you, the one who brought you to himself, the one who justifies you, is the one who will continue to do that very thing. God is continuing to work in you in your sanctification. What's sanctification? Question 35. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, wherein we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. God's at work in you, Christian, to enable you to die to sin every day and to live more and more to righteousness every day. And Paul was convinced that God will complete that good work in you, and that's going to be completed at your glorification. Now, we don't have a question in the shorter catechism that says, what is glorification? But we do have this question. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. God began a good work in you. God continues to do that good work in you, and God will complete that good work in you. Now, that should give you some confidence, but the confidence has to be placed in the right place. You should not trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Pogo's the one that said, we have met the enemy, and he is us. I'm dating myself. Those of you that even know who Pogo was, it was an old cartoon character from newspapers back a long time ago. We've met the enemy, and he is us. That's often the case. Our own worst enemy is within our own hearts. We are, as I said, frail and fickle and fallen. And therefore, we discover that we can't put our confidence in ourselves because, well, how many times have you wanted to start and finish something that you never did finish? You really had a good intention to go on that diet and lose 100 pounds, but you didn't do it. You had a good intention to exercise every day, but it didn't happen. You really wanted to start and read War and Peace, but or Moby Dick, but those are big, thick books, and you just didn't get through them. Maybe that's not it, but there's something in your life that you started and didn't finish because you're frail and you're fickle. And you're fallen. And you cannot trust yourself. You cannot trust your own faith. You may think that you've got all the faith that you absolutely need, and there is nothing that can ever shake that faith. And I can tell you that you will, at some time in your life, at least once, meet something that tries that faith so severely that you'll wonder if you have any faith at all. Don't trust your own spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul is the one who says to us, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Because I can almost guarantee you that the very place where you think, boy, I have got victory over this temptation, it's never going to bother me again, that's the very place that you will be tempted and fall. You can't trust your own spiritual growth. Well, what can you trust? You can trust God alone. He's the only one you can trust. He's the only one you can trust. God is the one to trust. Not yourself, not your friends, not your faith, not your own spiritual growth. Trust God alone. God continues his work in you. He doesn't stop part way. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it, Paul writes. Basically, if God has regenerated you, if God has brought you to saving faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will not ever stop part way. He will continue to enable you to persevere to the very end. You know, you start things and don't finish them. God's not like that. Praise the Lord that God is not like that. God never starts something that he does not finish. He is the one who perseveres in all that he ever sets out to do. Think about that. God is the one who perseveres in everything that he sets out to do. And nothing can thwart his holy plan. That's great encouragement when you think about it. Since you know that if he began a good work in you, he will complete that good work in you. If you have been born again, you have no need to fear that you will ever be lost. If you have been born again, you have no need to fear that you will ever be lost. There are many scriptures that teach that. Just think about these two. In John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." I've used the illustration of teaching a child to walk. All of you that are parents have done this before. You've tried to help that little one to learn to walk, and so there comes a point in which that little boy or little girl is taking these hesitant steps and holding on to your hand. You may have to bend way over if you're tall. And there's that little one with this arm stretched way up like this, holding on to your hand, and you've got that hand, and he or she walks a few steps, and it looks like victory, and all of a sudden the feet go out from under, and she starts to fall, but she doesn't fall. Why not? Because you're holding her hand. It's not because she's got a strong grip on you. It's because you've got a strong grip on her. You don't fall everlastingly, Christian, because you've got such a strong grip on God, but because God has a strong hand on you. And you cannot fall and perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And the Apostle Paul told the Romans, Romans 8, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." What could possibly separate us? Paul lists everything, and then he says, "If I have forgotten anything, I know that nothing can separate us from Christ." Nothing. God sanctifies you daily, Christian. "And I am sure of this," Paul writes, "that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." Those words, "bring it to completion," are really one word in the Greek language, and they indicate that God will bring what he starts to a successful conclusion. The word means to attain a goal, to accomplish what you set out to do. God will do this. So in order to do this, what does God do? He works in your life on an ongoing daily basis in sanctifying you through the work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. The Christian life is not one that you begin by faith and then keep up by works. There's some folks that teach that and they're wrong. There's never going to come a time, and there certainly shouldn't be for any true believer in Christ, there shouldn't ever come a time where you can say to God, "Okay, I've got it now, God. You've done all that's necessary. You can leave me alone now. I've got it from here. I'll take it." No. Do you know what would happen to you if you ever said that? The second those words were out of your mouth, you would fall because you were frail and you were fickle and you were fallen. You cannot do it. God works in you, and therefore your sanctification, as well as everything else going on in you, is always from faith, from first to last. God begins with you. He works in you. You begin the Christian life by faith, but you continue the Christian life by faith as well. Now, good works do figure in, but your good works are necessary as fruit and as proof of your saving faith and this ongoing sanctification that is done in you with the work of the Holy Spirit. Your sanctification goes on in you as the Spirit works in you. And He enables you to produce good works. Those good works are never, ever supposed to be the ground or the root of your salvation, but they are evidence that the Holy Spirit is enabling you to produce in your life. Just like you're on trial. And somebody's got to bring evidence that you committed whatever it happens to be. And the evidence that you are a Christian, if you are on trial, is the good works that people can point to and say, these things show that this person is a believer in Jesus because he did this. And so the good works that you produce are things that show the truth of your profession of faith in Christ. They are proof and they are evidence. So it's God who begins to work in you, and it's God who continues to work in you, and it is God who will bring to completion what He has begun. Paul told the Thessalonians, "He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it." God completes what He starts in you. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now, the funny thing is, there are some folks who really hate this teaching of Scripture. They really don't like it. They don't like the idea of perseverance, that God enables us to persevere. They want to think that somehow or other they are responsible for their own salvation. One of the most amazing things that I never could get my head around was this one particular minister that I know of that hated this doctrine with a passion. And the terrible thing about it was, he's a member, or he's dead and gone now, but he was a member of our denomination. How in the world he could ever deny something so clearly taught in Scripture, I don't know. Jim Boyce, the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, until he went to be with the Lord, wrote in his commentary on Philippians these words. He's talking about why men don't like this doctrine of perseverance of the saints. He said, they prefer to believe that men save themselves, that they are accepted by God on the basis of their good works or use of the sacraments, and that their final salvation depends more or less on how faithful and persevering they can be. And the problem with that whole idea is, it's absolutely wrong. All of these things are wrong. None of this is true. Men do not save themselves. Men do not seek God. Oh yes, men seek gods. Men seek gods of their own making. If you ever run into somebody who is looking for a god, you will discover that the god that they want is some type of celestial Santa Claus who will give them good things but never say, you can't have that. They don't want a God that's going to say, no. They want a God who makes them healthy and wealthy all the time. And there are preachers who will tell them falsely, that's what God always wants. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is not a celestial Santa Claus. The God of the Bible is not the one that wicked, sinful, fallen men seek after, because they don't seek after Him. As it is written, Paul says in Romans 3, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. And he's quoting the Old Testament. So throughout the Bible, this is a true testimony. Nobody is seeking after God. Good works don't make you acceptable to God. Isaiah tells us about this. In chapter 64, he says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." You see, our righteous deeds, as good as unregenerate men think they can possibly be, our righteous deeds, and even as Christians, our righteous deeds are still polluted by sin. And so, rather than being this beautiful, sparkling white garment of righteousness, what our righteous deeds, our best good works look like, are that rag that you use to wipe your hands on after you change the oil in your car. You know what that looks like. It's gray, it's got brown spots, it's icky and it's oily and it's oozing and yuck. And it may have once been a white handkerchief, but it doesn't look like that ever again. That's what our best good works look like in the eyes of God. So they're not a foundation for our acceptance with God. Titus says the same thing. Titus 3:5. "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So it's not our works of righteousness. It's not our best good deeds. These cannot be a foundation for our acceptance with God. And the sacraments, yes, they are aids in our sanctification, but they do not save us by themselves. And so the Apostle Paul can write to the Romans about Jews in the Old Testament who had the sacrament of circumcision. And he can say this about them: "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." You see, you couldn't trust in that sacrament alone. You can't trust in baptism alone. You can't do any of these things alone. It's an aid to our sanctification, but you can't trust in that alone. It's Christ alone you must trust in. Even your perseverance is a gift that God gives to his elect, and it is nothing that you can boast in. In Jeremiah chapter 32, God says this: "I will make them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts, and they may not turn from me." How is it that they would not turn? He's talking about what's going to happen in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that people will not turn from God? It's because God puts the fear of God in our hearts. He's the one who places it there, and therefore we can know that we will not turn from him. And Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." Notice that last phrase. That's in verse 5. Notice that last phrase. We are guarded by God's power through faith for this salvation. How do we know that our faith will continue? How do we know that our salvation is sure? How do we know that any of this is going to take place? God guards us, keeps that faith going, keeps that salvation real, and provides it for us in Christ. God will complete your salvation on the last day. "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." There will never come a time, Christian, never come a time when God will stop working in you for your salvation. He has already done all that is necessary to save you through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember when we just finished in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 says this: "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Christ's offering of himself on the cross was perfect. It was done once for all. It's over with, never to be repeated. It accomplished everything. It perfects all of the people of God who are at this very moment being sanctified. It's God's work in Christ. God will continue that work up until the time of your death. And he will completely end all of this, make his work perfect in all of the elect at the resurrection. And so when Christ returns, there are several things that are going to happen. When Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be raised. And those who are alive, who are believers in Christ at that time, will join with them. And then all men will be raised and surround the throne of Christ for the final judgment. And you, believer, at that time, having received a renewed, glorified body, will stand before God and be publicly declared forgiven and holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's the reason for the final judgment. It's not like people die and we have to wait, wringing our hands, wondering what's ever going to happen to us, and have to wait for a final judgment and not know. No, that's not true. When you die, you go to your eternal reward, whether it's heaven or hell. And the final judgment will not change that fact at all. But it will be intensified, because your body will be raised and you will experience the glories of heaven in a glorified body in a way that your bare soul at the point of death couldn't begin to imagine. And the contrary is true. Those who are apart from Christ have their bodies raised, and they experience the pangs of hell to a greater degree than you can imagine. And so we look forward to a final goal that God is working for in you today. He is sanctifying you today. He plans your glorification, and it will be taken. It will take place when Christ returns. And so he began this work for you. He has justified you. He continues this work in you, in your sanctification, and he will complete this work for you in your glorification in the Lord Jesus Christ on that last great final day. Take heart, Christian. No one for whom Christ has died will ever fall short of that mark, because it is God who is at work in you who will save you to the very end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we rejoice and thank you for this beautiful teaching of your word. How we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fact that behind our perseverance, behind the perseverance of the saints, lies the work of God that is so certain and so sure. Father, what a marvel it is, and how we can rejoice in you, knowing that if you began a good work in us, you will complete that good work. And Father, we thank you for that. Bless us, O Lord, to be bold and to be faithful, telling others of our great Savior. Bless us, Heavenly Father, to live for Christ and to serve Christ, knowing that you have begun this work in us and you will complete this work in us. We ask that you would cleanse us of our sins and our unrighteousness. And Father, that you would apply afresh to our hearts and lives that perfect righteousness of Jesus. And may we go forth singing his praises and telling others of our great Savior. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.